Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlo Damrgardichian. Today I've been having a conversation with Dr. Vahram Shemasyan, Director of the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Northridge. Welcome back, Vahram.
Sure.
Now, over the past 50, 60 years, I mean, ever since the Armenians of Musada were permanently settled in Anjar, because of political situation in that area of the world and in general, there are now quite a few large Armenian communities, Musada Armenian communities in the United States. Is that right?
That's correct. They came from Anjar beginning in the 1960s especially. And now they are concentrated in the greater Los Angeles area, some in the Fresno area, and some in San Francisco area. Of course, there are Musada Armenians or Anjar Armenians on the East Coast as well, and in Canada, concentrating in Montreal and Toronto. There are Armenians of Musada extraction in Australia as well as in also in France, even in Brazil and Argentina, especially after the 1909 massacres, just like the Hajjantes and some of the other Cilician groups, small groups of Armenians from Musada also settled there. I contacted a lot of Musadas, whether in Australia, in Europe, Canada, the United States, but I couldn't get hold of them in South America. Hopefully one day I will be able to do that and see what they have in terms of pictures, documents, travel documents, etc., etc. Yes, every year we celebrate the 40 days of Musada in mid-September with the Harissa, with the drums and the zurna and so on and so forth. But until and unless we know our history well, those things may fade one day. So we need to be cognizant of our roots, our history. That's what makes us Armenian. Without the memory of the past, we cannot move forward. We cannot move forward. So we need to have a strong understanding of who we are as Musadakis and as Armenians as well, and as U.S. citizens and world citizens. So they all go hand in hand. If your roots are strong, you cultivate them, you take good care of them, then the present and the future will be much healthier, and we can move from there. This is my understanding of the whole issue.
Well, language is also quite important, because the Armenians of Musada speak a general dialect, and then there's dialects of each village. But how is that dialect faring today? I mean, are there people still using it?
The dialect, unfortunately, is fading. Unfortunately, there are still people in Anjar who speak it, even among the younger generation, because it's a compact group. It's one area. But in Armenia, the new generations don't know the Musada dialect, nor do the new generations here in the United States. At home, in my home, my grandparents used to live with us for a while. And whenever we had guests in Anjar during the summer, we didn't live in Anjar, but we were there for the summer only. But they used to speak the dialect. I didn't speak the dialect, but I used to hear it. Now I can speak the dialect, not 100%, with some broken dialect, but it helps me a lot. It's full of Turkish and Arabic words, but it has a solid grammar based on the Garapar or classical Armenian. And interestingly enough, there are some words that have been borrowed from the Sunni region of Armenia, southern Armenia, as well as Garapar, which I think, and based on some eyewitness accounts, some of the Armenians of Musada have their origins in Sunik or Zankezur or Lerna Hayastan and Varapar. It's very interesting.
Yes,
and the Armenians of Musada and Kesap have similar dialects, and they used to call their dialect Kistinik, which means the language of Christians. So originally, they had this notion of belonging to a religion, the Christian religion, rather than an ethnicity or a national group. And eventually that notion changed to the notion of belonging to ethnicity or a national group. It's an interesting transition that I mentioned in my book as well.
My guest today is Vahram Shemasyan. He's the director of the Armenian Studies Program at Northridge. We've been talking about your research and your interest and your connections to the Armenians of Musada. We did mention that you will be publishing, together with the Armenian series at Fresno State, your latest book, which is called The Armenians of Musada, From Obscurity to Genocide, Resistance, and Fame, 1840 to 1915. We expect that out at the end of August or beginning of September, and it's going to be the 105th anniversary of the heroic defense. Is that right, this year?
Yes.
And are there any special... I know it's a difficult situation with the pandemic, but is there anything that's being planned for that? Are there any virtual conferences or any kinds of things like that going on that you're aware of?
Well, the friends with whom I talk over the phone or sometimes in person say that they're bored. They need change. I'm not bored. I have so much material to write about that I'm not bored, and I'm enjoying this time to a certain extent, of course, because I can concentrate, I'm not distracted, I'm not going to places, and so on and so forth. So I'm not distracted or distraught or bored. And having said this, I'm now writing, have started writing my third book, which is the continuation of 1915, and that will be on the Armenian refugee camp of Port Said in Egypt from 1915-1919. So it was established in mid-September 1915 when the French battleship brought the Musada Armenians to Egyptian shores. But eventually their numbers were augmented by survivors who were sent by the British from Transjordan and Palestine beginning in 1918. So the camp population grew to about 8,000 to 9,000 people, and some descendants of those survivors sometimes sent me emails asking questions, whether I know where they were in the camp, in what section, what tent, what happened to them, how did they live, and so on and so forth. So this is a totally new world. And unfortunately, again, it hasn't been written in historical form based on archives. That's what I have started doing, and it's going to be a very interesting book.
Will it focus focus only on that period, or will you take it up through, let's say, the Second World War and into the end of the 20th century?
So this particular book, my third book, will focus on that area, the camp, and the period, four-year period. After that, I'm going to write my fourth book, which will cover 1919-1939, and that will be about the religious, education, and political life in Armenian Musada, all the way to their exodus to Ayinjar in the summer of 1939. So these are two projects that I am pursuing. First, the Port Said book, and then the Back to Musada during those 20 years.
And you,
that's what I'm going to do. And eventually, I may write a few more books because I've collected a lot of letters. I've done a lot of interviews, as I mentioned earlier. I have lots of other pictures, which, besides the book, will be with me but not published. I'm going to publish them probably separately in an album form. So all we need is good health, Barlow, and a long life in order to accomplish what we've set to accomplish. So I hope God grants me that healthy and long life to fulfill my dreams.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Besides that, I'm also... Pardon me?
Yes, I said it's great to have the opportunity to have projects and things that you're working on, and therefore you just look forward to the future, right?
That's right. Even when I return, whenever I return, and I haven't decided when to retire, I have lots of things to do.
Right.
People ask me, don't retire, tell me, don't retire. Try to stay focused at work as much as you can. But I tell them I have lots of work to do. So don't you worry about me. You should worry about yourself. So I've gathered so much material. As I said earlier, I've conducted research in 40 archives, some 60, 70 collections of newspapers and periodicals. You name it. I cannot claim that I know everything or I have everything because science moves forward. You make new discoveries. For instance, someone in the future has to delve further in the Ottoman archives, you know, as well as the Armenian archives at the Jerusalem Patriarchate, as well as the Istanbul Patriarchate, to name some important archives. So it's never ending. But what I'm doing is quite important because this is happening for the first time. I am personally satisfied. I am happy. They're not perfect by any means, but I am content that I'm using something, I'm doing something useful, and I'm leaving a legacy to my children and their grandchildren and our needs at large, etc., etc. I'm also interested in, as I said before, the fate of Armenian survivors in the Middle East. There are so much to write about. For instance, I just finished and sent to Hayat Gaziantep University an article on the repatriation or relocation of Armenian refugees from Iraq to Soviet Armenia from 1921-1925. Not too many people know about this. When we talk about repatriation, usually we take into consideration the period between 1946 and 1948, but we don't talk about and we don't know about repatriation before those 2 years. So that's one thing that I've done. I've written and submitted an article on the very important role of the Protestant Reverend Aharon Shirazian in the revival of the Armenian nation beginning in 1915 in Aleppo when he established an orphanage and continued on doing wonderful things for the Armenian survivors throughout his life. He passed away in 1938 or 1939, I forgot the exact year, but he was a very productive person, then a very energetic, a very businesslike, and he contributed greatly to the survival of the Armenian nation. I published a short article, 6 pages or so, in Armenian, on the fate of the Armenian Catholic state of Cilicia during the genocide. It was published by the diocese in late 2019 here, the Western Diocese of the Armenian Apostolic Church. I don't know if you've seen that book, but I have a very short article on the fate of the Catholic state of Cilicia in that, and the role of Catholicos Sahak II Khabayan in assisting the Armenian deportees in Transjordan, in Palestine, and so on and so forth. So I just submitted a paper to the Haggadian Armenological Review regarding Armenian genocide survivors in Damascus at the end of World War One, using AGBU archives, U.S. National Archives, and so on and so forth. So it never ends. There's so much to do, and we as historians or social scientists have scratched just the tip of the iceberg. When you go to those archives, you see the limitless amount of documentation in those archives that we haven't delved into, and it's too bad. It saddens me. But I'm glad at the same time that over the last 30 or 40 years, many Armenian books have been published, a good chunk of them on the Armenian genocide, but not just on the genocide. We should remember that the Armenians should not be identified by the genocide per se, but also there were Armenians before the genocide for thousands of years, and there are Armenians since the genocide for 100 years or more. So there are so many aspects of Armenian life that we haven't studied. That's a pity, but we see some progress, and I'm glad that people are producing very good scholarly books.
And in the last few minutes here, you've been traveling to Armenia recently and working there. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the projects you've been working on there or some of the interesting things that you've discovered there?
Yeah, I did some research at the Dizer Nakapert Armenian Genocide Museum Institute. I did research at the Armenian National Archives, a very rich collection, of course, of millions of documents, depending on what you're focusing on. Also done the research at the Ethnography and Archaeology Institute, the Musaler Museum Institute, the Yerisha Charents Literature Institute, you name it. So I'm getting exposed to the archives in Armenia, and I've made some connections with the scholars there. Very nice people, very helpful people, very approachable people. And these interrelationship between Armenian intellectuals, scholars of the diaspora and Armenia, very important. The exposure is very important to see who is doing what, at what level, how we can help each other, etc., etc. So this is a good experience for me, and I hope it's a good experience for those scholars with whom I've established contact over the recent few years.
Do you find that in Armenia that there are young scholars interested in these historical questions? Are there young people that you're coming across, graduate students or doctorate, people with studying for these?
There are students in philology, in history, in political science, in genocide. There are very young, especially female scholars, not just female, but especially female scholars, doing research on the Armenian genocide, and they're affiliated with the Genocide Museum and Institute. And a number of them have gone to Europe conducting research in the League of Nations archives, which I also have seen and used, and so on and so forth. So there are younger ones. We don't know much about them, and that's why I say that we need to know them. And we need to find a way to make those new publications known to us and our publications known to them. Maybe the Society for Armenian Studies can embark on such a project. There is this Dr. Yazidjian in Armenia, who from time to time sends lists of published works in the world about the Armenians, which is very useful. So we need to know what's going on in Europe in terms of Armenological books, studies, articles, activities, conferences in Armenia, what's going on in Armenia, in Lebanon, in the United States, and so on and so forth. So we need to know what's going on. It's not just that we need to live and function in isolation. It's very important.
Yeah, I think traveling is always important, and especially for scholars working in archives. And you mentioned also the Turkish archives, and I think that they are now working in Jerusalem on organizing the archives there. And of course, Jerusalem it's an important area.
That's right.
Yeah. So today I've been talking with Dr. Vahram Shemasyan. He's the director of the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Northridge, and he is going to be publishing, as I said, we'll just talk about it one more time, a new book on the Armenians of Musada, From Obscurity to Genocide Resistance and Fame, 1840 to 1915. That will be published, we hope, within the next month and a half. It'll be a very fitting book on the occasion of the 105th anniversary of the Musada resistance and defense at Musada. So thank you very much for joining me today, Vahram.
Thank you for having me, Barlow.
It's been a pleasure having you as well. And for all things Armenian, this is Professor Barlow Dermogradichian wishing you a good week ahead, and we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things Armenian.